Hey, good morning and welcome to a Red River Radio Spotlight. I'm Bill Beckett, the program director for Red River Radio. And joining me this morning in our Knoll Foundation studios is Robert Trudeau, the author and illustrator of the book How to Mardi Gras. And he's here to share with us some upcoming events on this carnival season and some insights about Louisiana culture and Mardi Gras. Robert, thanks so much for stopping by.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. Red River Radio is something that it's a part of my life and has been since it opened its doors here. Yeah. So I'm delighted to be here.
So let's get started with the book. Can you kind of take us through some of the highlights about what folks will find in this book?
Yes. This is a small book. It's 36 pages, 36 illustrations, but it is a comprehensive look at Carnival in Louisiana, plus a little bit of a reminder that Carnival takes place in many other places of the world.
Right.
So it begins with the ancient roots of Carnival, the European roots, and it takes you into New Orleans and to the early days of the colony.
Right.
Then it covers things like second lining and the foods of Carnival, the traditional foods, the music, then it takes off on a jag to the Cajun Bayou for the running of Mardi Gras, the Courier de Mardi Gras, explains a heritage there, and to the Creole country, Zydeco Mardi Gras, you know, trail rides and all that.
Right.
So it covers a lot. It does so very briefly and with an eye toward all ages. A group of middle school teachers helped me edit this. They said, Robert, please take out the chapter on transvestitism, a traditional marvelous part of Carnival. A lot of fun for adults, not considered material for youngsters. But this book is something that everyone can read. And there are like 5,000 copies in print, by the way.
So I'm looking through the table of index of this book, and you're covering a whole variety of things from an introduction, as you said, to the history of Carnival, parades, crews, foods, music, costumes, Cajuns and Creoles. Can you give us a quick rundown of each of these sections and what they might find in here?
Well, you know, what I'd like to point out is that if you're planning a carnival party and you'd like to add a little more deep, authentic vibe to it, this is a great book for you. You deepen your knowledge about Carnival in general. Oh, by the way, and people in North Louisiana refer to the whole season as Mardi Gras,
right,
which is understandable. But technically, Mardi Gras is one day. That is Fat Tuesday. So I refer to Carnival. And in Louisiana, that season begins with Epiphany. January 6th, the traditional opening, the first king cakes, the first balls, and so forth. And goes all the way to Carnival to Fat Tuesday, which varies, by the way. The Catholic Church, and you know, this is a Catholic thing. Protestants are certainly able to enjoy it, but it originated with the Catholic Church. The date of Easter is set by the phases of the moon.
Right.
And to get the day for Fat Tuesday, you back up from Easter. So that is why it varies from year to year. This year, it's not until Tuesday, March 5th. So this is an unusually long carnival season this year.
Right. And last year, it was in the middle of February.
Yes.
Was it not? Yeah. So Carnival, starting out as a Catholic tradition, this is, as you said, it's all over the world. I know Brazil, of course, well known for its carnival season. And New Orleans, of course, is where we tend to think of in the United States. Outside of Louisiana, you think of New Orleans for Mardi Gras.
That's true.
But throughout Louisiana, there are various traditions all across the state. Can you kind of give us a little bit about each of those?
Well, yes. One of the ones that I discussed in my talk last night was the tall conical cap with ribbons coming out of the very top called a capuchon. Capuchon is something put on by many of the Cajun riders as they do down in Eunice, Louisiana, down in Mamou, as they go from farmhouse to farmhouse. And it looks a little bit like a clan cap because it's tall and conical.
Right.
But what it does is it symbolizes the frustration of Cajuns who move to the New World to leave the nobility of France behind them. They were being ill-treated by the nobility, and they were impoverished people. So they took a gamble on life in Canada, And that worked well for about 150 years. And then the British expelled them from their beautiful green country, Acadia. And those people became a refugee group called the Acadiens, you know, Acadians for short. And so they were lucky to find themselves on solid ground in South Louisiana and kept these traditions of satire and who do we not appreciate the nobility? They built herds of cattle.
Right.
They learned how to rice farm. They learned how to grow indigo and tobacco and cotton and so forth. So they made a beachhead there in what was other surrounded by swamps. And they were isolated there for the next 100 years because there was no easy way to penetrate through the canal system east to west.
Right.
So that... that isolation created a unique culture.
Right. It's one of the many subcultures of America that makes us such a fascinating country to travel around and
true.
Visit. Yeah. One of the things that I, you know, since I've been here for just a little over 8 years, the cruise. How did the whole concept of the crew come about, and how does that, you know, play into Mardi Gras? What are these crews for? Obviously, they create celebrations, you know.
Well, thanks for asking. It's a deal where in New Orleans, people knew Fat Tuesday was a day to go out and have dress up and get drunk and so forth. You know, celebrate in various right. ways. And before there were any crews, Carnival was kind of random and anarchic. You know, the better people rented a carriage. And went around in fine clothes and, you know, looked at the poorer people who were busy getting drunk and fighting each other, right. beating each other. And then the poorer people would look at the people in the carriages and pick up clods of dirt and throw at them. So a carnival had a kind of a crazy, wild vibe. And the advent of crews was in part to help organize parades and balls so that there was an orderliness to it.
I know up here you hear a lot about, you know, the crew of Gemini and many other crews that are literally, you know, I've attended a couple of fundraisers where they're raising money. They have these big balls. Everybody's dressed up in gowns and they're going through because they're raising money to do their floats and do all their Mardi Gras stuff in the parade. So
the earliest tradition of what we do in Louisiana to entertain ourselves was we give balls in the winter. In between agricultural work, when things are shut down, we give house parties. We give, and the principal thing was dancing. And you know, you only needed one fiddler to create a house party, you know, right. a fiddle do. And if you had a big ball, two or three fiddlers would do for the to get people on the dance floor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very important tradition in the state of Louisiana, and that is the winter balls, the dances, and they stayed up all night, Bill. It was not considered a done experience until you ate breakfast there in the morning and then went home.
Oh, I remember those days, but I was younger then.
Well, I'm so happy to hear you.
Here's an interesting one, the Zulu Aid and Pleasure Club. What are these?
Well, you know, after the Civil War, freed men, for a change, and women, of course, were banded together to give insurance for calamities and to give burial insurance for a proper going away at the end of a life. And these benevolent societies resulted in some great institutions in the black side of deep south towns and cities. And among the things was like the Knights of Pythias in Texas and Louisiana and the Court of Calantha. Here in Shreveport, the Calanthian Temple on the historic building, four-story building on 1,000 block of Texas Avenue, not Texas Street, but Texas Avenue, was built by Cora M. Allen because she marshaled the energies and monies of the Court of Calantha all across the state and was able to build a building that was a center for black businesses in Shreveport. So these societies sometimes produced more than just burial and insurance and so forth, but sometimes really the ability to celebrate, and Zulu is one of those. Great costumes, great celebration that has, you know, touched people all across the world.
Now, one of the things that I'm looking at in here, and it's a fascinating ritual, is called the second line. Can you give us a quick rundown of
yes.
that?
Yes. You know, in the 1890s, a new music was born in Louisiana, in New Orleans, in the streets, where brass band music was something that was common all across America in that era. But a whole lot of it was Sousa-style marching, and people enjoyed that. They danced to it. They sat in picnics and enjoyed it very much. But in New Orleans, something extra was needed. That Creole culture of the city of New Orleans, including people from the Caribbean as well as from up and down the Mississippi Valley and the early French and Spanish colonialists, you know, you had a mixture of people in New Orleans that wanted music that was hotter than the rest of the country needed. And so that's the birth of jazz right around the turn of the century. And pretty soon, jazz music is being used to bury someone. And you play slow music, stately music, on the way to the cemetery. After the body is let into the ground, the hottest music, the fastest music you can play, the most joyous sounds, because that person has been cut free from the bounds of this temporal life. And so that's part of the story of the second line. And here in North Louisiana, we're beginning to more and more embrace the idea that it's a Louisiana thing, not just a New Orleans thing.
Right.
So I operate a band called the Shreveport Second Line Brass Band, and we do funerals. We do weddings, a lot more weddings than funerals. And we also special events of all kinds. So we're getting more calls than ever, I'm happy to say.
Now, speaking of that, you've got some events lined up coming up, and one of them is a Shreveport Second Line Brass Band. It's a heritage project. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, we are on February 9th. We are headed over to Red River Brewery to play for the King Cake Classic. And that's another borrowing of South Louisiana culture for a benefit run established by the Junior League of Shreveport. There'll be a lot of people there, king cakes and so forth, and brass band music because it adds such a festive flavor. That's going to be a very early Saturday morning for those runners and for our musicians.
And you'll also be leading a downtown walking tour and lecture about African American history?
As soon as the weather gets better, I've only done three of these events so far. Downtown walking tour of African-American history with an emphasis on, you know, the ways in which difficulties were overcome again and again. Strides and changes have been made in what began as a really, really awful situation of slavery and depressing kind of tales of brutality and so forth. So Shreveport, I've been doing a lot of research on how we overcame these things one after the other. And the tour begins at near the edge of the river, you know, under the bridge at Bon Ton Café. And then we go up Texas Street with me lecturing many topics. And then eventually at the First Methodist Church, we turn left on Texas Avenue and go all the way to Antioch Baptist Church. And those are some very important places on Texas Avenue that help you understand the evolution of black culture in Shreveport.
Now, on February 6th, you're going to be downtown at the Art Walk, and you're going to have your sketches on hand as well.
Yes, thank you. You know, there's a lot of vibe to the Downtown Art Walk, and I have to thank Liz Swain for doing such a good job, she and Edie Stewart, organizing this. We've been doing this for over a year now, and people know that on Wednesday, first Wednesday of the month, it is a joyous vibe downtown as you go from building to building. Different ones are spotlighted each month. Looking at all the art, buying some, seeing your friends, having a sip of wine, having a good time. There's entertainment, too. So one of the best things I know of in Shreveport in recent years has been the Art Walk. And I'm a heritage-minded illustrator. For instance, the a popular piece of mine recently has been my rendering of Herbie Kay's restaurant. Mm-hmm. I just finished one, a New Orleans illustration, a classic, the Camellia Grill on Carrollton Avenue. Those are among the illustrations that you'll see that I'll have framed and ready to go.
Now, at the or closer to the end of the month, I should say, February 21st, you're going to be doing a talk at the Women's Department Club?
Yes, thanks for mentioning that. The Women's Department Club is such a classic institution in Shreveport. Beautiful building, beautiful furnishings, and in the and upstairs, it's this magnificent strand-like high-quality auditorium, by the way. And if you haven't visited that, you've got something really good waiting for you upstairs at the Women's Department Club. But I'll be giving the talk about the history of Carnival. And what I do is I get everyone up and dancing, Bill. They get up and do a Cajun circle dance that is very ancient in its origins. They get up and do a jounce to Zydeco music, holding hands, going around the room. I teach everyone how to do a second line with the music from the Rebirth Brass Band in the background. And sometimes they even throw in a little bit of the waltzes that were held in the that were spotlighted in the balls held early in the history of Carnival in New Orleans. So it's a very active kind of, and you know, you bring your camera and you have you laugh because you're up and dancing. You're not just sitting there listening to something.
Not just a lecture. It's a participation.
Yes, exactly.
All right, and now this book is on sale at locations throughout. Can you give folks information about where they can find this book?
Yes, please. Over in Bossier City, my good friend Don Tubbs is vending them and has been and selling them like crazy alongside his marvelous king cakes and along the side of an incredible world of beads and masks and paraphernalia of Carnival. And on the Shreveport side of the river, King Hardware, Enchanted Garden, both of those on different locations on Line Avenue. And in downtown area, Katie Larson is carrying them at the Agora Borealis on Lake Street. And they're always, I'm always picking up additional places to vend them, but those are the principal places. Tubbs and King Hardware and Enchanted Garden and the Agora Borealis.
And any other events that you'd like to mention that are coming up?
Well, I'm going to try to do the Saturday history walks on Saturdays when there's good weather. I've had to cancel several of them now because they're, it's a walking tour. And there's something just so cool about taking that 1 mile walk. And then we come back by bus, by the way. On Saturdays, you can get a bus pass for $1 and get back to your car that way. And we finish with a visit inside Antioch Church whenever that can be arranged. And it's a historic building of graceful and gorgeous ancient kind of architecture. And it's really something to see. It's a new view of Shreveport that I'm promoting. And it's something that people of all regions of America want to hear. What was African-American history like in your town? So that's something that you have to watch out for. There's a Facebook page called Shreveport History Tours, and if you watch there, you'll see me either call off because of inclement weather or make sure that you know that I'm doing one on Saturdays. They go from 10 to 12.
And is that where people go to find more information about a variety of these events?
Yes, and using Facebook as a kind of center. There's a page for Heart of Mardi Gras, on Facebook, and there's a page for Shreveport Second Line Brass Band. In fact, the majority of people who contact Shreveport Second Line Brass Band for special events do so through our Facebook page, although, you can just call me, and my phone number is easy to find.
Robert, I want to thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you. Merci beaucoup.
That was author and artist Robert Trudeau, who joined me in our Knoll Foundation studio this morning to share some thoughts from his book, How to Mardi Gras. He also shared details about some upcoming events surrounding the season, including a Second Line Brass Band Heritage Project, a downtown walking tour to lecture about African-American history, an art walk, and a talk at the Women's Department Club on February 21st. More information is available about all these events by contacting Shreveport History Tour on Facebook or call 318-272-6045. That's 318-272-6045. This has been a Red River Radio Spotlight, and for Red River Radio, I'm Bill Beckett.